like the oracle of God. If I get you confused, I'll meet you after service. Praise the Lord. So the text is 1 Peter 4, verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11. It says, if any man speaks, oh God, okay, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I like this translation. It says, I couldn't find it when they asked me. I couldn't find the translation. It says, anyone who speaks should speak words from God or oracles from God. Anyone who speaks should speak words from God or oracles from God, or as one bringing God's message. So if you're going to speak going forward, God is telling you today, you should speak words from God. You should do what? Speak words from God or oracles from God. Some of us don't know what oracles means. Words. Speak words of God or oracles from God. Or you should speak as one bringing God's message. Amen? The latter one is a noun. You speak as an oracle. One bringing God's message. You speak like a representative of God, an ambassador of God, a spokesman of God. Praise the Lord. Ephesians 5:1. Let's read Ephesians 5:1. It says, therefore, become imitators of God, copy him, and follow his examples, as well beloved children imitate their father. As well beloved children, that's what we are. Well beloved children of God, our Father. Children of our Father in heaven. Today he says we should become his imitators. We should copy him. We should follow his examples, even in our words and in what we do. Praise the Lord. So the way you speak is very important to God. That's why it says, if anyone speaks, let him do what? Speak God's oracles, God's words. Or it says, if you're going to speak also as a person, the noun form, it says, speak as one, bringing what? The message of God. Praise the Lord. So for you to do that, you have to be able to know how God speaks. If I'm going to imitate my father, I need to know how my father does whatever I want to imitate. If I need to copy him, I need to know. If I need to follow his examples, I need to know exactly what he does. Praise the Lord. Apart from that, you can't. There's no way I can imitate him or copy him or follow his example if I don't even know the way he does it. So let us look at Romans 4:17. How does God speak? Romans 4:17. And it says, okay, praise God. Says, I want us to read together. As it is written, a father of many nations have I made thee, before him whom he believed, even God who giveth life to the dead, and calleth the things that are not as though they were. Even God who giveth life to the dead, and calleth the things that are not as though they were. We're seeing how God speaks here. He says, God calls the things that are not as though they were. Praise the Lord. As we continue, we get it clearer. Let's take some examples of how he did it. In creation, Genesis 1:1-5. He says, in the beginning, Genesis 1:1-5. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was waste and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day. And the darkness he called night. And there was evening. And there was morning. Day one. So what happened? God came out. God saw the whole place filled with darkness. It was dark. Just like we see some dark areas in our lives. How did God handle it? Because if you're going to be an imitator or copy him, you need to follow his footsteps, right? Good. Wherever he steps, however he did it, you do it. God saw darkness, and what did he say? I know what some of us will say. Wow, this darkness all over the place. Darkness everywhere. God said, God calls the things that are not, the ones he didn't see as they were. What did he do? God saw darkness, and God said what? Light. I like a translation. It says, and God spoke light. Another one says, God's light be. Praise the Lord. So when you see darkness in any aspect of your life, what do? You speak light. The word of God is life. It is light. It is our own life. It is our light. Praise the Lord. In any area where there is darkness, you speak the word of God. And that darkness cannot comprehend it. As we go along, you will know. It's not easy, but it's one step at a time. Praise the Lord. So when you see darkness, what do? You don't speak it. You call light. That's what God did. Then God said, let the light. Then I want you to see something here. I never saw it until I started preparing this thing. It says Genesis 1:15. Remember in the first, that was the first day when he said light be. And there was light. Now again, Genesis 1 says verse 15. Then God said, let there be light bearers. Luminaries. Science students. Luminaries. Light bearers. The source of light. The sun, the moon, and the stars. He said, let there be light bearers, sun, moon, and stars in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be useful for signs, tokens of God's covenant, provident care, and for marking seasons, days, and years. And there was evening, and there was morning, a fourth day. You see where I'm going? God called that light, right? But he didn't make the source. Here we're seeing that God, after he has called the light, now he said, let there be the source. Let the source of the light now come. This makes it clearer. Yes, he called that thing that wasn't the light. He called it. But now we're seeing that 4 days, after 3 days after he did it, the fourth day, he now says, let there be luminaries. Let there be the light source. Let these light bearers now come. The sun, the moon, and the stars. Praise the Lord. This is God. And that's what we're told where we first read Romans 4. That he calls the things that are not as though they were. Praise the Lord. He made you in his image. He said, be my imitators. I just want you to just fathom this out yourself. What I'm trying to say. If God says, copy me. And when you see darkness, you call darkness. Are you copying him? I don't know who you're copying. God says, copy me. Do it the way I do it. When you see this, and it's not in line with what God has spoken concerning you, that situation, call what? The right thing. Call according to the word of God, what God has spoken. It may not look like it, but call it anyway, and you will not be lying. When you speak what God has said, praise the Lord, you will not be lying. Praise God. Hebrews 11:3. It says, through faith, we understand that the walls we are framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. It is still talking about calling the things that are not. God framed the entire universe by the word of his mouth. And now, what is this? He says, so that he uses the word. Whatever he used was the word. It was just the word. The thing that wasn't seen. So things that were seen, he says they were not made of things which do appear. Praise the Lord. He's still talking about calling things that are not. Praise God. He didn't say he made it out of flesh. He said things that were made were not made for things which do appear. So there was nothing that God created. If you go through the story of creation, whatever God created while doing it, speaking it. If you go through the entire, read it, the, you know, creation, God spoke, and God spoke. Praise the Lord. So if you think you will not speak, you're not doing what God says to do. And until you do as God says, you're not getting results. Praise the Lord. If you want the result that he got, he told you what to do. Follow the what? The blue book on getting results. Do as God said. Praise the Lord. So God uses words. So when you take the word of God is faith. It's filled with faith. You know how we know? He used that word to call these things. And the Bible says faith comes from what? Hearing. And hearing the word of God. If the word of God is not filled with faith, how come faith comes from it? Say faith comes from hearing that word. In other words, the word is packed with faith. Amen? God, when we take the word of God, we put that word in our hearts, which God used to create. The same power to create all matter. The same power to create will do what? Will be deposited in our hearts. Praise the Lord. When you take the word of God and put it in your heart, what happens? When you speak, he's the one that does it. That's what we do, the same thing. Praise the Lord. So he says everything that was created, and you're wondering, everything we see was created by words. Everything. The word of God is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. He says that thing that happened, everything we saw was created by words. In other words, if words created everything, everything you see must also do what? Respond to words. Hallelujah. Amen. The word of God is God over all. When you speak that word over your situation, he says in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and God, and the word was God. If I take that word that I cannot separate from him and speak it over my situation, it must do what? It must respond. That was how it was. Everything that was created, everything that we see was created by words. And so they must also do what? Obey. They must respond to the word of God. Praise God. I already said he didn't speak. When God spoke, he didn't speak what he saw. I said it already, right? So when you speak also, you should not speak what you see. You see that sickness. You see the lack. You see whatever you see, rebellion in that child. No, what do? You bring God into that situation. You make God, you know, take preeminence. You speak the word of God over that situation. That is what you want to see, right? I'm saying lack, but the Bible says you have abundance, isn't it? I'm seeing sickness. The Bible says by his stripes you were healed. I thank God when our sister was singing this morning. Let the reading of the Lord say so. Let the reading of the Lord say so. Let the reading of the Lord say so. I'm saying so. I'm saying so. I told myself, I said, wow. Say, let the healed of the Lord say so. Let the healed of the Lord say so. Let the healed of the Lord say so. I'm saying so. I'm saying so. When she started singing, I said, God, thank you. That's a confirmation. All I want to talk about is saying the word. Speak his oracles. Speak the word of God. Make the you know, whatever situation, make him the word of God, Lord, over that situation. Praise the Lord. That situation we come to do what? To respond. That was how it came. Everything God did, he spoke. And he got results. We learned to speak. So let the redeemed of the Lord say it. Say what God says about you. Dare say what God said about you and believe it. Because the reason why some of those things we say, those dumb things we say, those crazy negative words we say, they don't happen because we don't believe it in our hearts. Thank God we don't believe it. Because he said their words were not mixed with faith. Those that received the message in the wilderness, they didn't mix it with faith. So it didn't profit them. So thank God
You know, when we speak, sometimes we don't mix it with faith. And that's why it never happened. Thank God. You know, my mother back home would say, oh, it's a dialect. I can't be quang wang wang nani. You know? She speaks, oh, she's not good. I can't be quang nani. And it's a horrible, horrible thing. And then you will say that to your child, you will never amount to anything. You son of this one. You son of, and you expect that child to do well. Ha! If you believe it in your heart, too, it will happen. But thank God, you've not missed it with faith. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Mix it with faith when you say what God says over your child. But when you open that mouth without control and that diarrhea comes out from the mouth, just thank God it's not mixed with faith. So now, praise the Lord. When God speaks, let's see how else God speaks. When God spoke, God's words are, look at the word of God. He never, when we do a meeting, well, I've said it, what we agreed in that meeting is binding. It's not binding. You will always change your mind. You told me you will change your mind. You will say you will come. You don't even mean to come. You just say you will come. So I will let you go. I will let you be. Okay, pastor, I will do this. You're not doing it. It's just something they don't even want to be. Just that the pastor will let them be. Mommy, I'll get it. I get that trash. Don't worry, mommy, I got it. Just so mommy will let you be. But look at how God speaks. It says, Psalm 89:34. He says, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. These things affect you, the words you speak from your mouth, when you speak negative words. It says, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my mouth. When God speaks, his words are binding. Praise the Lord. He never says what he doesn't intend to fulfill, like some people do. We must be people whose words will always count. That Jesus will look at and say, okay, like Nathaniel, he said, I know this is a man of integrity. He has no guile, no deceit in him. Let God be able to say of you too, I know that she will do as she has said. Let's look at this Psalm 15 verse 4. It says, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honored them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own heart and changeth not. See, God honors people like this. He says, he swears to his own heart and changeth not. Let me read a simpler translation. He says, he keeps his words even to his own disadvantage and does not change it for his own benefit. Even though he knows what he has said will not be of any benefit to him. In fact, it's to his own disadvantage. He still sticks to the word. Praise the Lord. He says, God honors such a person. And that is exactly how God is. Amen. God doesn't lie. Numbers 23:19. That's why he said we should not lie also. He said, do not lie to one another. God is not a man, so he does not lie. He's not human, so he does not change his mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has he ever promised and not carried it out? How many of us, we make promises, and when it's not convenient, we just conveniently back out? But you gave them your word. Well, God is not a man. How many of us will speak? Okay, I will do it. But they will not do it. They have no intention of doing it. But it says, God is not a man. So he doesn't do these things. And he tells us, do not lie to one another. Praise the Lord. So let your yes be, not, do not lie to one another. Praise the Lord. We should be people of integrity. Let's look at how Jesus spoke. We know Jesus spoke only the words of the Father. Are you wondering how come he had a big faith like that? Because he only spoke words from God. And every word is packed with what? Faith. Faith was coming. He only spoke words from God that is packed of faith, packed with faith. Let's look at let's look at John 12:49-50. It says, the things I thought, spoke, were not from myself. The Father who sent me, told me, commanded me what to say and what to teach, speak. And I know that eternal life comes from what the Father commands. So whatever I say is what the Father told me to say. What are you saying?
When you come across a situation that is negative to the word of God, is contrary, that child is not exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit. That child is not, because God said, bring up a child the way he should go. He says, when he grows old, he will not depart from it. Have you looked at that child and said, God, I thank you. I brought that child up in the way he should go, in the fear and admonition of God. And I know he will not depart from it. I thank you, your word is true. Praise the Lord. And you have your rest, your peace. Because he's watching over his word to perform it. You think God doesn't, his mind is not in it. When you bring God into that situation and make him a God by his word, speak that word and make it God over that situation, God said he will do what? He will perform it. He's watching over it. Praise the Lord. You just have to speak it and believe it. Mix it with faith. We're going there. We're getting there. Say, the word that I speak to you, John 14:10. The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the work. And I was thinking about that. The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority. He said, God asked him to do it. How many things have God asked us to, you know, when you see the promises of God, what God says about a situation, that is what God is asking you to speak, you know, over whatever you're passing through. And he has given us, Christ has given us the authority. He took over the authority, right? He now delegated that authority. God gave him all the authority. For now, we know that, right? God gave Christ all the authority was given to him, all the power, everything. But he's saying, I give you that authority, delegated authority. You have it. You speak it in his name. And when you speak, if you dare speak and believe, what happens? You're not even the one doing it. Look at that place, the B aspect of, the B part of this thing. He says, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. He that dwells in you too, he does the works. Whatever it is, praise the Lord. He does it. He does it. Your own is to do what? Follow what he says. Your own is to speak on his own authority. And you know that the authority is his. It's not yours. And what happens? You will see it happen. He does the work. Praise the Lord. Ephesians 4:29. We're still seeing, if Jesus said to do this, you can be certain that that is what he does. He can't ask us to do what he doesn't do. He said to do it because that is what he does. Praise the Lord. And in Ephesians 4, he says, let no corrupt speech proceed out of your mouth, but such as is good for edifying, as the need may be, that it may give grace to them that hear. See, there are things you're looking at here. Let no corrupt speech. He says, Jesus spoke only the word of the Father. And God never spoke any corrupt speech, did he? He never did. So when you open your mouth and you begin to speak corrupt speech, good water and bad water cannot come up from the same what? The same fountain. From the same source. Praise the Lord. It defiles you. He says, let no corrupt speech proceed out of your mouth, but such as is good for edifying. When you're speaking to that sister, speak words that edify them. When you're speaking to your son, your daughter, don't say you amount to nothing. I know that I brought you up in the fear of God. I know you're going to go, you know, or I know that you have no limits. You will always be head. You will never be tail. But you're seeing me at the bottom of the class. He said, you will never be tail. You will always be the head. I know the God whom I serve. You know what you're seeing, right? But you're speaking what the word of God says. You will be above. You will never be beneath. You keep speaking the word of God. Edify them. Edify that sister in church. Edify your neighbor. Edify whoever it is. Edify the pastors. Let your word be the word that edify. Edify your daughter. Edify your parents. That's what he's saying. Let no corrupt word come out of that speech, come out of your mouth. But only words that edify. As the need may be. As the need may be. If a child needs edification in the aspect of probably he, you know, he's called zero, and then, you know, academics, you speak as the need may be.
If it's in the area of his spiritual life, you don't see him, you know, rising, getting, like the Bible says, will grow from grace to grace, glory. If you don't see that in him, words that will edify him according to that need. I know you. You are a gift of God to me. You add no. So you know what? I know that you are my child and you are for signs and wonders. I know you will do exploits. I know, you know, you speak according to the need, what that person needs. You speak into their life. Praise the Lord. When somebody, you know, loses somebody, some of us, we go and speak negative. No, speak what they encourage them. Encourage them. He will comfort you. I have not been where you are, but I know he will comfort you. He will embrace you. He knows the end from the beginning. I know he's with you. I know he will make things right. I know he has a purpose for this. Encourage according to the need. Praise the Lord. He says that it may give grace to them that hear. Grace is unmerited. If that sister is so bad, speak words according to the need that will encourage them. Not because they deserve it. I thank God for my daughter Oloma. She was here sharing it that day. I was like, wow. If you're talking, these little ones, even the younger ones, they were sharing it. It's not because I deserve it. But you can speak that word of grace to edify me. It's unmerited. That's why it is called word of grace. Speak it to your son. Speak it to your daughter. Speak it to your spouse. They may have been a knucklehead. They may have done something. But speak the word of grace according to the need of the hour. Praise the Lord. Jesus called things that were not as though they were. Let's go to John 2, 7 to 9. I'll just give one or two examples there. It's the story about the wine, the wedding in Cana in Galilee. John 2, 7 to 9. Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water. And they were filled up to the brim. And he said to them, draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast. Draw some out and take it to the master of the feast. He didn't say draw the water, right? Take it to the master of the feast. And guess what? And they took it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom. Now, when he said draw out, he didn't say draw out water. He called it wine. It was wine. It was, I think he didn't say water, but he said draw out. He never said water. He didn't say wine. He never said water. And then he knew it was wine. It's going to be wine. And when they drew it out, they took it there. It was wine. Praise the Lord. It was wine. So you're seeing that situation that looks, supposed to look blue, and it's looking, you know, black. Speak the word. Praise the Lord. Speak what God said. Speak what God said. And God will rule over that situation. Praise the Lord. Bring him in. Praise God. When you speak the word, you're bringing God, making him God over that situation. Jesus healed 10 lepers. Let's look at Luke 7, 11 to 14. On this way, now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled long along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going into the village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priest. And they went. And as they went, they were cleansed. Now, when you go back and read this story, and read about the priest of those days, if you are leprous, you cannot present yourself to the priest. You only present yourself to the priest when you are healed. Do you get the gist? You only present yourself to the priest when you are healed. But he said, you know what? Go present yourself to the priest. What was he doing? He was calling them healed. He was calling them healed. Praise the Lord. That's what you should do. Copy him. Follow his examples. Amen. Let us continue to look at calling things that are not. Let's look at Romans 4, 16 to 21 and see what can one or two things that we want from there. Romans 4, 16 to 21. Okay, let's read together. Therefore, inheriting the promise is the outcome of faith and depends entirely on faith in order that it might be given as an act of grace, unmerited favor, to make it stable and valid and guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the devotees
and adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Praise the Lord. There are so many promises. Remember when he said to Abraham in verse 17, when he said, when he spoke in verse 17, he says, my translation says, God who gives life to the dead and speaks of non-existent things that he had foretold and promised. He already promised to Abraham. He promised to Abraham, you'll be the father of many nations. Remember when Abraham was 75 years old, said you'll be the father of many nations. And going forward again, and then we saw him change the name of Abraham from Abram, that meant high father, to be populous, father of multitude, father of many nations. He already said, I will make you. And going forward, and we see him say, I have made you. Now he has made him. And guess what? I was sharing with my son, I said, when you look at the promise, it says, I will make you father of many nations. And that one means Abraham, right? And then now he says, I have made you father of many nations, which also means what? Abraham. He called him Abraham, father of many nations, before ever Abraham became a father. Praise God. But guess where I'm going is this. Why did God change that name? Many stories about that. But I know one thing. If he says father of many nations, Abraham, what is your name? He keeps saying father of many nations, right? And faith comes from hearing that word. And then some people call him Abraham, which means father of many nations. So whether they are calling him, he's saying father of many nations, or he's saying it, he's saying father of many nations, he keeps hearing the word over and over and over. And guess what? When he hears this word, what is happening? Faith keeps coming from the word that he hears. Children, parents, you know, names are very important too, the names you give. Some people change their names. Praise the Lord. A lot of people change their names. That's what God did here. So Abraham kept hearing this word, and that faith kept coming. He continued to grow. His faith continued to get stronger. Let's continue. Let's go quickly go to verse 18. Even though, let me just point something out. Beyond human, against hope, Abraham was hoping, right? In verse 19, without being weakened in faith, he didn't consider his own body. He considered his own body. He considered, but he wasn't even weakened in faith. But the key thing for me, verse 20, he says, yet, looking unto the promise of God. Verse 20, can you put it up? No, that's, use AESV. It's okay, I'll read it. He says, yet, looking unto the promise of God, he wavered not through unbelief, looking unto the promise of God. What was he looking unto? The promise of God. Do you see the result? He wavered not through unbelief. So when you have a promise and you focus on that promise, wavering will not come in because unbelief came in. So wavering will begin to come. When you decide to walk in unbelief, you begin to waver. Today, yes. Tomorrow, again. Today, thank you, Lord. Tomorrow, please, God, give me. You begin to waver like that. But Abraham never had unbelief died. It fled because he kept his eyes on that promise. This verse really blessed. It says, yet looking unto the promise of God, he wavered not through unbelief. Unbelief is what will cause you to waver. Praise the Lord. And then I remember John the Baptist too, how Jesus focused his eyes on the book, the scripture. He says, are you he who is to come? Or shall we look for another? Doubt. You are the one that even pronounced and proclaimed it. You're the one that said, this is introducing to the world. This is the Son of God, right? This is, you know, and the dove, he said he saw the dove, you know, perch on him. And now you're asking him. You introduced him as the Son of God. Now you're asking him because he has passed through. Because sometimes when you're passing through stuff like that, a lot of stress, a lot of affliction, a lot of hard times, you begin to question, God, why me? That's what John the Baptist did. What did Jesus, how did he treat it? He said, tell John. Go tell him. Not tell that I am Jesus. He told them the scriptures. The lame walked. The blind the deaf, and the what? The dead are risen. Praise the Lord. He took him back to the scriptures. Because when you go back to the scriptures, you're doing what? That is exactly what Abraham. The Bible says here, where we just this verse, it says, yet looking unto the promise, unbelief disappeared. He didn't waver anymore. Praise the Lord. So in spite of all this, what happened? As he tried to give glory to God, his faith was working stronger and stronger. Faith to believe came. Each time people called him, he had the word. Each time he said, I'm Abraham, he had the word. Praise the Lord. And he took me to Joshua. He says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. He says, keep speaking this word 24/7. You shall not depart. He said, then you will now consider to do according to all that is written therein. And then you will do what? Prosper. And then you will have good success. Keeping the word of God in your mouth is a way to build your faith. Praise the Lord. Focusing on it, keeping it in your mouth. Don't forget this. Let today be a turning point in our lives that the words you speak, they matter. Take the word of God, that word that created, that has creative power, and put it in your mouth and begin to speak it. Praise the Lord. As we go along, let's see if we can just hurry. So you have a lot of promises. Let's look at 2 Peter 1:3. I'm going to do the message. 2 Peter 1 verse 3. Okay, yes. It says, everything, let's read together. Everything that goes into a life of pleasing God has been miraculously given to us by getting to know personally and intimately the one who invited us to God, the best invitation we ever received. We were also given absolutely terrific promises to pass on to you, your tickets to participation in a life of God after you turned your back on a world corrupted by lust. You have been given promises, right? When you go to the word of God, a lot of promises that are there. Encouragement, healing, prosperity, you name it. God, has everything is in the word of God. All those promises. A lot of them are there. And they're already, it's a done deal. God has already done it. That, let me read 2 Corinthians. I'll just keep going fast. Say, for all God's, 2 Corinthians 1:20, in case you want to write it. All of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes. And through Christ, our amen, which means yes, ascends to God for his glory. If you're a born-again child of God, he says in Christ, everything that God has provided, all those promises that he made for us, he made, they are for you. And they are already fulfilled in Christ. All you have to do is to do what? Take it, believe it, and say amen, and it's yours. You see, God never made anything complicated like the pastor will tell us. We want to complicate them. God has made them so simple. Praise the Lord. But we want to complicate them. It says they are all fulfilled in Christ, every single one of those promises. How do we get them to manifest in our life? The Bible told us. It says it all depends entirely on faith. That's what we read. Praise the Lord. So we need to develop our faith, because faith is what will help you. It's responsible for you to take possession of all that God has provided for you by his grace. It's responsible for getting your healing, deliverance, prosperity, soundness, whatever it is that you're believing, you know, you want from God. Only by faith. He says you can only inherit those promises by faith. Praise the Lord. So when you keep looking onto those promises of God, you know what happens? Faith, that's the thing. That faith also comes through the promises of God. If I'm believing God that I'm healed, by his stripes I was healed. By his stripes I was healed. He says, seed. You know, let's go on. We're going to meet that. So you never stop speaking the word of God. It should not depart from your mouth. God has, through grace, done all he has to do for us. It's our turn to take the thing, the promises, and put them in our mouth. Praise the Lord. And begin to speak that the word of promise, the word of God, over every situation. You need to go back again. Yes, God has provided everything. But he says, God looked and saw that something was wrong. Those things that are not existent, he says, and he calls to life, he calls those things that are not. There's a lot of promises that God has given us that are not in our lives, right? What do? You treat it as God treated it. All those things that are not in your child, in your business, in your marriage,
in your relationship with other sisters and brothers, in your whatever it is, the Bible says, how did God deal with it? God called those things. They are not, but he called them as if they were. Praise the Lord. But the thing is that sometimes we there's a difference by you. You see something, you call it. God didn't say, call what you see. Call what you have not seen. Praise the Lord. But we call. Father, you know, I thank you, Lord. You know, Lord, this child is he acts stupid. He doesn't listen. He's not obedient in school. He doesn't perform. Are you listening? He didn't tell you to do that. Praise the Lord. He says to call. What do you want to see in that child? The desired result. What do you desire to see in that child? That is the things you're not seeing. Desired result. The solution to that problem. That is what you speak. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians 4:18. He says, so we look not at the things which are seen, but we look at the things which are unseen. You call those things that are not. Don't say it like it is. If there is darkness, you call light into that situation. Call things that are not manifest in your life. When you look at that situation, you know. You know, it's like speaking the opposite. Speak the opposite. Speak his oracles. Praise the Lord. When you say lack, you know what to say. It's poverty, you know what to say. It's a problem child, you know what to say. If you're sick, you are healed. You were healed 2,000 years ago. God did all these things 2,000 years ago. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's why when I was so happy when I saw my, you know, it's okay, you know, singing that song. And then again, let the weak, you know, you speak the opposite. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us. And now, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us. You give thanks. Praise the Lord. You give thanks. He has done awesome things. Praise the Lord. You thank him. You call it forth. Call what God has said. Forget what you're seeing. Call what the word of God says. Praise the Lord. When you says, well, let the weak say, I'm strong. Let the poor say, I'm rich. Praise the Lord. You know, it's also shown in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 27 to 28. I'll quickly read verse 28. It says, okay, I think I'll take the whole thing. And the things that are despised did God choose, yea, and the things that are not, that he may bring to naught the things that are not. It's not tautology. That he may bring to naught, N-O-T. Oh, no. N-A-U-G-H-T. Is it N-O? N-O-U, that this naught is the N-O-U-G-H-T, then bring it to naught. Zero. Bring to zero. Praise the Lord. And then he says that you may bring to naught, zero, the things that are not. Oh, God. Let me just read from the book. He says that he may bring to naught the things that are. What are you seeing? What are you seeing? He tells us in this verse, in this passage, you can use the word of God. When you make God, that word, God over that situation, you speak the word of God, you bring that thing to what? Zero. Whatever you're seeing. That's why I said before, it will respond to the word of God. He says it again, if you seek to this mountain and you believe, you do not doubt, the mountain will obey you. That problem will obey. He says you bring it to zero, that sickness, that disease, that situation. But you have to believe. That is where the problem marvels. Praise the Lord. You have to speak it and believe it. Believe it. Believe it. Believe it as you say it. What are you seeing that is not supposed to be seen? What are you seeing? Bring it to what? Zero. Whatever you see that is not also supposed to be there. This passage says, speak the word of God to those things that you see, and then you bring it to what? Zero. Praise the Lord. Amen. You can reduce it to zero, things you can see, by using the word of God. Amen. So always, let's make it a point of this, to always listen. God says, speak the oracles of God. God says, speak the oracles of God and speak like his oracle. Look up everything. You have scriptures. It will take me to something else. You are saying by the faith, I said it before, faith comes from hearing the word of God. The seed of the word. It's a seed. Let's go. Praise the Lord. Faith comes from hearing the word. That is where that faith is going to come from. Praise the Lord. And when you hear the word, what do you do? When that faith comes, you speak. You speak. You speak the word. Let the redeemed say so. He said, the scriptures say, 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, the scriptures say, I believe, so I spoke. Our faith is like that too. We believe, and so we speak. Praise the Lord. And then, you know, in John 17:20, he says, you don't have enough faith. Jesus was telling them. So I tell you the truth, if you had faith, even as small as a mustard seed, you could say. You see, again, everything has to do about what? Saying. You need to open your mouth and begin to speak. Don't just stay in that mood that, you know, I don't know what to call the mood, where we're too lazy to speak. He says, open, God, nothing happened. Even though the Spirit of God was hovering over the whole thing. Until God spoke, nothing happened. Until you speak, that's how you release your faith. Nothing will happen. If that faith is there, you're not speaking. It is there. He says, until you speak. Praise the Lord. We believe, and therefore we do what? We speak. Praise the Lord. He says, if you have that faith, you will say to that mountain, move. If you, that faith, the way I see that faith, Bible is a seed. The word of God is a seed. If you have, you see, if you have that faith, faith as a seed, the word of faith, you will speak it. Praise the Lord. And when you speak to that mountain, he says, it will do what? Obey you. Praise the Lord. It will obey you. It will obey. So faith comes. And today we know that God has not left us helpless. It says faith comes from hearing. If I were you, I would try to hear every day. I will put on the message, the podcast. I will listen. I will read the word of God. I will speak it for myself. Because they're now finding out that, you know, the word you speak, you know, by yourself is carried, transmitted through the inner ears into your spirit, your heart. What the Bible said, they are now finding it out. Medical science, they are now beginning to find it out. Praise the Lord. So the best way to let that faith come is to speak that word by yourself. Praise the Lord. And when you speak it, you're sowing the seed. Because Luke 8:11 says, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The seed is the word of God. God's word is alive. It says the kingdom of God, how does it operate? As if a man sows a seed. That kingdom within you, that's how it operates. You need to speak that word. Praise the Lord. That word is spirit. That word is life. Praise God. You need to speak the word. And when you speak the word, leave the rest to God. Praise the Lord. When you speak it with faith, he does the work. Praise God. Until you plant that seed, you will not get any harvest. Like a regular seed, you need to know how the seed behaves. If you know about a seed, if you want to know if a seed is alive, you plant it. Science, right? It's one of the characteristics of living things. They grow. What happens? It begins to grow. Praise God. The word of God is like that. You need to plant the word of God. And there's no way, if you desire the word of God to produce for you, you need to do what? Plant the word of God in your heart. Amen. How do you plant the word of God in your heart? You speak it. Proverbs 3:3. ERV. It says, don't let love and loyalty leave you. Tie them around your neck and write them on your heart. How do you write the word on your heart? Let us look at it. Psalm 45, verse 1, New King James. It says, my heart is overwhelming with a good thing. I recite my composition concerning the king. It says, my tongue is a pen of a ready writer. It's your tongue. You write that word in your heart. From what? Your tongue. You speak it. That's what Joshua was saying. Let it not depart from your mouth. Praise God. It's good you hear. But today we know that the one you speak by yourself produces more faith, faster. You produce faith than the one you're hearing. So it's good for you to speak the word at all times. Praise the Lord. You can say it, you can decree it, you can confess it. But if that seed is planted, there must be a manifestation. Praise the Lord. Of harvest. There has to be harvest. That's the kingdom of God. That's how it works. Let's look at Mark 4, 26, 28. Put the word in your heart. God has prepared your heart in such a way that it's going to produce. The heart always produces. Production center. Mark 4, he says, the kingdom, 26, he says, the kingdom of God is like a man who throws it on the ground and he goes to bed at night and gets up every day. And in the day, and in the meantime, the seed sprouts and grows. How he does this, he does not know. The air produces crop by itself. First the blade, then the head of the grain, then the mature. But he goes to sleep and he wakes up. That is what, you don't need to help God. If you put the word of God in your heart, if you speak that word and believe it from your heart, and you confess it with your mouth, it must bear fruit. Amen? And faith is coming because it's from the word of God. But sometimes, like I said, speaking negative words, it begins to produce something else. You know why? Because the heart has been fashioned in that way, just like the earth. When you produce, and then the more you speak the word, faith is coming from your heart, and you speak, you know, the more you hear the word of God from the pulpit, as you read it, you know, you're watering that word and watering and watering, and your faith is coming and it's producing for you. But when you speak negative word, it will also happen like that if you believe it. Let's see James 1:26. If anyone thinks himself to be religious, scrupulously observant of the rituals of his faith, and does not control his tongue, but deludes his own heart, this person's religion is worthless, is futile, is barren. Praise the Lord. It will not produce the desired results when you speak negative word. Do you know what? You know why? It says, this person's, no, religion. Okay. But deludes his own heart. Deludes is to deceive. You've deceived your heart. God has, you know, prepared that and designed such a way that it's going to produce. When you speak something negative and you believe from your heart, you're deceiving the heart. It's going to produce it. Because the heart will think that is exactly what you want and it's going to produce. Praise the Lord. That's why you should be very, very careful with your words, the words we speak. And then we have to, you know, when I talk about, you know, speaking the word of God and faith coming, that's why you have to develop yourself by confessing the word of God. There are certain confessions I do every day, you know. Remember how, you know, you just keep confessing the word of God. Confession is very important if you want your faith to develop. Praise God. And you don't wait until something happens, then you begin to speak without any faith. But when you begin to learn to confess the word of God, there are certain scriptures you write out. Place them anywhere. Or you have your cards. Every day, take those ones that, you know, they consign you and begin to do what? To confess them. Faith comes as you confess the word of God. You need to confess. Look at Hebrews 13. It says, let your conversation, 5-6. It says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he had said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that you may boldly say, you're confessing. You will confess the same thing. The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do to me. Praise the Lord. And when you confess, when you look at Hebrews 3:1, it says, therefore, my brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession. Your profession, your confession. That's how you make it. The things you say, that it becomes the profession of the Christian. Praise the Lord. That's, I read it, I'm like, okay, it's confession, now my profession. As a Christian, that is what I'm seeing here. You keep confessing the word of God. It makes faith to grow. Praise God. And then I had one was, if I have so much word of God in me, it's life. The Bible said it's life. And when sickness comes, when darkness comes, it will be difficult for you to do what? To quench that light in you. Praise the Lord. Because you have it so much in your heart. And then when you speak it with faith. It will be difficult when you have so much light in you for darkness to come and comprehend it. Praise God. Okay. And, you know, confession really, really works because faith comes from there. And then you're speaking, you're seeing the result, the end result. You're speaking from the end result. you're not speaking, you know, the problem. Praise God. It tells you to renew your mind, because as you're confessing the word of God, you know, at meditation, you know, confessing the word of God is like, you know, it has something to do with meditation. Because as I'm speaking it, you're bringing it, you regurgitate it, it's coming out, you're meditating. It's like you're speaking it again, you're hearing yourself. It's part of it, praise the Lord. And you know how meditation is very powerful. It's very, very powerful. And then when you confess the word of God, angels, when you speak it, so I say the angels, Psalm 103 verse 20, say the angels do what? Bless the Lord, you his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. You need to give voice to the word of God, and angels will do it. Praise the Lord. That's their work. You need to develop yourself in faith as you begin to confess the word of God. Find those scriptures in the Bible. Believe it and speak it. Praise the Lord. If faith might not come at once, it might take time. You might keep speaking it and speaking it. Young Isho, I read that a lady went to him asking for, you know, wanted healing. He had prayed over that lady for some time, a couple of times. Then that lady kept coming. Then one day he said, go, I need to do something for me. Get a paper, continue to write, by his stripes, I was healed. By his stripes, 3,000 times. She didn't even go halfway. She came back to him. It's done. I stopped. Why? I got my healing. Praise the Lord. Because she kept on confessing and faith kept on coming. Praise God. Okay. We have a lot of inheritance. Confession will help us to take that inheritance. No matter that sickness, no matter the power of that sickness, if you speak the word of God and you believe it, it is stronger than any chemotherapy that kills cancer cells. It is stronger than any metformin for diabetes. It is stronger than any, what is the name of those, all those things, for high blood pressure. It is stronger than any medication, the word of God. Praise the Lord. You have to speak it and you have to believe it. And that mountain will move. Amen. You see, Jesus knew the power of words. He did it. So when you go to Mark 11, he understood it. Mark 11, 13 to 14. It says, and seeing a fig tree after afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter calling, you know, to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus answered and said unto him, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. I think I'm going to just explain and then I'll stop here. Maybe I'll continue whenever I have the... Praise the Lord. So what am I seeing here? He saw the tree from afar off. He came. He had an expectation that he might find something, fruit on it, right? So like we have expectations, and those expectations are not true. Treat it the way Jesus treated it. See, look what happened. When he came, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of leaves was not yet. And Jesus answered and said, why would Jesus answer a tree? He spoke to him. Is he not? He said, Jesus answered. So whatever it is that you find in your life that is not in you know, accordance with the word of God, you have to answer back. You have to speak. Praise the Lord. Even if a negative thought comes in, it's the devil. Answer it back with your words. Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee thereafter forever. He cursed it. And he says the power that death and life are in the power of the tongue. Look at that situation and curse it. I say, die, you are dead. By the power invested in this, my tongue, the power of life, and I speak death to you. You sickness, you situation, I speak death. And I speak life. You speak life to whatever it is. If it is this part of the body that is not working, when I speak life, receive life. The word of God quickens, be quickened. Praise the Lord. He cursed it. He cursed that tree. And then going up, he says again, and in the morning when they saw it, they saw the fig tree. Because when you see it, it didn't manifest at once. They saw it in the morning. So when you look at that situation, say it's still there, then you give up. You just kill that thing. Praise the Lord. You just kill your miracle. Manifestation can come later. They say they shall have. Not at once. It's futuristic then. Praise the Lord. And guess again, he says, and Jesus said, verily I say unto you, whosoever says, you are that whosoever. It is you, whosoever believes the Lord Jesus Christ. You believed, right? It is you also here now. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. So you need to speak to that mountain. That mountain can be anything. He just wanted to tell that, you know, the word of God is God over all these things. They will respond. Whether it is a mountain, whatever, if he used a mountain, just that nothing is impossible. Praise the Lord. He used the mountain. Nothing shall be impossible when you speak that word of God and you speak it in faith. Praise the Lord. So today, I just want to stop and continue. And I'll continue. I definitely will continue here because it's so much. I'll kind of do some review and I'll continue from here the next time I come up. But I want to tell you today that is the Bible says what we read, our text. He says you should speak his oracles. Speak his oracles. Speak the word of God. Make that word of God. Bring God down into your situation by speaking the word of God over that situation. Bring him down. Speak the word of God over that situation. No matter what it is. He says, when you speak, he does the work. You're not the one that does the work. When you speak, your Father, he does the work. Praise the Lord. So we're going forward now. As we leave here today, the little we have had, let's put them into practice and change our language and begin to speak as God's representative. Speak as God's oracle. In anywhere, your workplace, your home, your relationship, speak the oracles of God as the oracle of God. Speak the oracles, the words of God, as the oracle, the messenger of God. Praise the Lord. Amen.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.